Yeah, yeah. I'm taking my freedom.
Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. My name is Rebecca Whitman, and I'm a success mentor. I believe there are 7 pillars of success: your spiritual life, your physical fitness, your emotional, romantic, mental, social, and finally, your financial life. When you get all 7 areas in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I learned this the hard way. I've always made money. Unfortunately, I spent so much time making money that I never had time for the rest of my life. So, despite not having financial worries, I was never happy. I wanted romance, but I didn't have time to date. I wanted to be in great shape, but I couldn't find a moment to go to the gym. I wanted a more spiritual life, but I didn't meditate. That also takes time. I wanted to read great books and fill my mind with deep thoughts, but I never made the time. I wanted a great social life, not just going to work-related events. Emotionally, I was a wreck because my life was totally out of balance. Today, I earn more money than I ever have in my life, and I work only part-time. I have the relationship of my dreams. I'm in the best physical shape of my life. I'm spiritually grounded. I feel fulfilled mentally, socially, and emotionally. My life is in perfect alignment. This podcast will help you discover where your life is out of balance. My mission is to support you in achieving work-life balance so that you can have more fun and freedom in life. On my show, you will get to learn from experts in all 7 areas of abundance. My guests have achieved tremendous success in their zone of genius. Are you ready to go to a level 10 in all 7 areas of life? You got this. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, and we are taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We are coming to you live on the Bold Brave TV network. Today is a very hot topic. It's all things keto. I have a very special guest that's coming on in a few minutes named Alex Gonzalez, and he's going to talk about how ketosis changed his life. But first, what is keto? Ketosis is a metabolic state that occurs when your body burns fat for energy instead of glucose. Ketosis can help you feel less hungry and keep more muscle. We all want that, right? And ketosis usually kicks in after 3 to 4 days of eating fewer than 50 grams of carbs per day. But I know my guest has a way to kick it in even faster. So these are the foods to not eat while on keto. You don't want to eat grains. You don't want to eat starchy vegetables like potatoes, French fries. French fries aren't a vegetable. That's a shock. High sugar fruits. I know there's a glycemic index that talks about which fruits have high sugar. Some of the highest fructose fruits are bananas, pineapples, mangoes. And before I studied ketosis, I would always throw a banana in my smoothie. A great health hack is to replace bananas with cauliflower. Cauliflower has very low sugar and it tastes great in smoothies, believe it or not. You want to avoid juices for the same reason. Juices are high in fructose and they're going to take your body out of that ketosis state where we're burning fat for fuel. You want to avoid honey, syrup, or sugar. Now, I know a lot of people think of honey as a superfood, and it is really good for you. It has antibiotic properties, and it can give you energy. But if your goal is ketosis, you want to avoid honey. You want to avoid chips or crackers. Even multigrain crackers, that will take your body right out of ketosis. And I know you love I love a good potato chip and it has no sugar, but it'll still take you out of ketosis. baked goods, including gluten-free. So I remember to date myself in the 80s where they were making everything low-fat, like baked goods. And we're like, oh, it's a low-fat brownie or coffee cake. It'll be fine. But that's not really healthy. So if you have a gluten-free baked good, like a brownie or a donut or I don't know, any kind of baked good, coffee cake, it is not healthy for you just because it's gluten-free. You ought to get into ketosis. You also want to ramp up your physical activity, especially weightlifting is good for getting into ketosis. You want to increase your healthy fats, which is the opposite of what they said in the 80s. In the 80s, fat was bad. Now there are healthy fats. So we're not saying like take, you know, tons of canola oil or Crisco or anything like that. It's avocados, it's olive oil. These are healthy fats that your body can actually metabolize and get into a state of ketosis. MCT oil, that's a real big superfood for ketosis. And of course, coconut oil. So MCT oil is actually from the coconut oil. MCT stands for medium chain triglycerides, and that is the most potent part of the coconut oil that can get your body into a state of ketosis. And you want to do intermittent fasting. They say that for women, ideal is 12 to 14 hours, which is not too crazy. And for men and women that are really into hardcore ketosis, the ideal eating window is 8 hours. So you could eat from like noon to 8 p.m. or 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's your feeding hours. And that will help your body go into ketosis if you only eat during a certain period of time. That's what's called intermittent fasting. You're taking a longer fast with a small eating window. Intermittent fasting. The other thing is to eat plenty of protein. I know people who are way into keto say that you should eat your weight in macros of protein. Well, that is a lot of protein. That's over 100 grams for me. I don't know if I could eat 100 grams of protein, being that I'm a pescatarian. That's a lot of fish, but they say that you want to eat as much protein as you can to be into ketosis. And then another thing that I'm going to tell you, especially for the women, throw away your scale. It's not about weight loss, it's about fat loss. So when your body is in ketosis, you are going to lose fat and gain muscle. And as they say, muscle weighs more than fat. So you don't want to be so obsessed with the scale and thinking, oh my God, I'm doing my intermittent fasting and my low carb, high protein diet. I'm eating all my healthy fats. Why is the scale not moving as fast as I want? Because you are losing fat, my friend. So throw away the scale. You know what I say? Your goal weight should be sexy AF anyway. The scale does not matter. It's all how you look and feel in your body. So we are going to cut it to a commercial break. When we come back, we are going to hear from a ketopreneur. His name is Alex Gonzalez, and he is someone who actually was able to transform his life and his body using keto and his finances. So we are going to cut to a quick commercial break. My name is Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We're going from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And we're coming to you live from Bold Brave TV. And we'll see you back in a couple minutes. Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman. We are taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And we are really excited today. We have a very special guest. His name is Alex Gonzalez. And Alex is someone that I met on Clubhouse. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
Yes, it's so great to have you on the show. I know I was interviewed by you on Clubhouse yesterday, and now I'm interviewing you here.
That's right.
I love when entrepreneurs can support each other. It's so much fun. So let me tell my audience.
100%.
Absolutely. Let me tell my audience a little bit about you. So Alex Gonzalez is a social audio influencer, a paid speaker, and a senior publicist with Divine PR. As a ketopreneur, he built a $6 million plus annual revenue business. He, as a husband and a father of two, he faced past trauma and abuse that was holding him back, and he lost 84 pounds. So Alex, tell us a little bit about your story. How did you overcome your trauma and abuse, and how did that create the release of 84 pounds? What happened?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And it's funny because you never know what's going to be the trigger in life. You know, we always have these moments in life that we say we hit rock bottom. I actually heard a speaker once, his name was Dan Clark. He said that we never hit rock bottom, we hit rock foundation. And when I started this journey, my foundation was so low that it felt like rock bottom. I was actually at Busch Gardens. I live in Tampa, the Tampa Bay area, actually St. Pete, Florida. And my daughter, who at the time was four, we were going to go ride a ride that she had been waiting to be tall enough. We finally get there, and because at this point I'm morbidly obese, the self-hatred, like all the things, it's through the roof. Literally, the harness won't close over me, and I can't ride the ride. And in front of everyone in line, everyone on their ride, but more importantly, in front of my daughter, who's looking at me asking, "Daddy, why can't you ride with me?" I have to get off of this roller coaster. The best part was, though, that in that moment, you know, one of my favorite quotes, Rebecca, is that change happens when the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change, because change is hard. And yes, in that moment, the pain became greater of staying the same because I couldn't be an active participant in my daughter's life. And so I decided to make a change. And I think that that's important. It starts always first with the decision. The decision was made. And then 2 weeks later, after trying to like rack my brain, figure out how to do this, my buddy that I had been watching sling these ketones for a year and a half reached out to me about something completely different. And I said to him, you know, I answer his question and then I'm like, "Hey, bud, by the way, I'm the fastest I've ever been. I have no energy, help." It was genuinely a cry for help. And he said, "Meet me tomorrow." And that was kind of the start of my forever, I guess, that started the shift.
And did you ever think that you would make millions of dollars in network marketing?
Absolutely not. In fact, I was the guy that every friend that ever did any type of network marketing slid into my DMs and was like, "Bro, I found something. And if you start drinking this and you lose a lot bunch of weight, we're going to make $1 million, you know, the whole thing. And I was always like, "Listen, I'll be your best customer, but I'll never sling anything." I didn't care. With this product, I met him that next day, that like I said, and before I finished a full serving, I always joke and say that I felt like I turned into an auctioneer because all my questions were like, like I had so much energy because I was so depleted. And so when I finally got that burst of ketones, that burst of energy into my body like really resounded like, "Wow, this is powerful." My first week, I lost 11 pounds. Within 6 months, I was down 84. But more importantly, I was able to walk away from my career and I've been full-time network marketer ever since.
So what career did you have, Alex?
So I have a master's in psychology. The majority of my career has been spent in academia. I was an adjunct professor, an academic advisor. I worked in the realm of education and loved it, absolutely loved it. It was a really tough decision to become a full-time entrepreneur because I actually loved the career path that I thought was the path I was destined for. But believe it or not, or I'm sure you know, I use my master's degree more now than I ever did. When you work with people, just knowing how to interact with people, having relationship with people, getting to know people's triggers and seeing them and understanding how to basically help motivate people become the best version of themselves, having that degree has 1,000% helped.
So what are some secrets or tips to why you've been so successful in network marketing?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I think it's super important to become a product of the product. I share, you know, there's that old, it's not old, but we're seeing it all over Instagram Reels and TikTok right now. One of the sound bites that says, "You don't have a business unless you talk out your business." And so one of the best ways to talk about it without seeming or feeling like you're one of those network marketers just sliding into everyone's DMs, is sharing the fact that you're a product of the product, that this is working. If you see my before and after and you see me over 300 pounds, super just unhappy, and then you see me now vibrant, shining, stepping into my true self. And I love what you said. It doesn't matter about the scale. And in fact, I tell people, don't use a scale. Find that favorite pair of jeans that, you know, hasn't fit in a while, but you don't want to get rid of them. Let your body be the scale, because like you said, when we're losing fat versus muscle, our body's shrinking, but the scale may not be changing. And so we always have to understand that shift. And I think for me, it wasn't just a physical shift, because if it all became about my body's transformation, then it'd be like every other thing I did every other time I tried to lose weight. It had to be mind, body, and soul. I had to get all of those things aligned. And so really success in network marketing came from two things: being a product of the product and then doing the self-development, but being self-aware enough that you actually developed.
Yes.
Ticked off the boxes. I went to the conference. I read the book. Actually develop and become a better human.
I think that's a great distinction, Alex, because a lot of people go to conferences and read the books, listen to a show like the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. They're like, why isn't anything changing? Because they're not changing. They're not actually incorporating the tips, tools, and strategies that they're getting.
And the cool thing is this, is that's okay. Like, understand where you're at and be okay with that. Be self-aware enough to know that, hey, I actually am not willing to make that change, or I am, or I don't want to go in that direction. But when we start just talking about it and never actually be about it, then you're really wasting thousands of dollars, because self-development ain't cheap. It isn't cheap, but it's worth the while.
Absolutely. Or they can be an analysis paralysis, like study network marketing or study franchising, study exactly what it takes to be a multimillionaire and know all the things, or even study, you know, fat loss or ketosis. But they're so in the details that they're kind of like not into action. They're just caught up in analysis paralysis.
Well, you know, I always say, and one of the things that I coach my team on, which I think is really important, is that the bridge between fear and abundance is action. That's the bridge. That's it. When we keep promises to ourselves, we start to build confidence. So if I say today, I'm going to reach out to three people, and then I actually do it, regardless of what the outcome is, and that's so important, because you have to be married to the activity and divorced from the outcome. We hear this always in entrepreneurship and sales, blah, blah, blah. It's not saying it again, it's being it. Actually being completely divorced from the outcome. My job is not to sell ketones, which, by the way, you described ketosis and how to get into ketosis, and now I come with a product that knocks all that out the door and says, just drink it and you're in it. But the thing is this, is actually do the things that are required and be okay with where you're at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's a lot easier than counting your fat grams and macros and all that stuff. Just drink something.
That's the thing, is if I was going to do it and actually cause shifts in my life that had longevity, it had to be sustainable. And if you told me that like my meat had to be the size of my fist and I had to have, you know, I'm eating freaking broccoli, it's the win. I can't figure out if it's too much broccoli, because if you're keto, you can actually eat too much broccoli. You know what I'm saying? And so I needed it to be sustainable and something that's easy that I can do, live a healthy lifestyle, and then in conjunction, obviously work out and do all those things. This just gives you the motivation to do it. It tastes delicious and you're in ketosis within 60 minutes.
I love it. I love it. So why do you think you shot to the top of this industry? It is hard. You said you got divorced yourself from the results. You're into the action. Like, what would you tell a brand new person now that you've made millions of dollars in network marketing and they're like, Alex, how can I cut some time off my learning curve? What can I do to be a multimillionaire in network marketing? What would you tell them?
It all stems with number one, belief. It's belief. That's it. It's believing first and foremost that you can and then you will, and then doing the work that it takes. One of the things that often happens with people is that their ambition doesn't always match their action. right? Everyone says they want that six-figure income, but are you willing to do the work that it takes to get there? And so first and foremost, believe that you can achieve your goals. And then secondly, make sure that whatever your ambition is, your activity matches that ambition. So if I'm going to say I'm going to rise to the top, I'm going to be one of the few that are successful in this industry at a high level, then I have to be willing to do what no one else is willing to do. That's what it comes down to at the end of the day. Yes, can you get lucky in network marketing? And I've seen the people that recruit those people that come in and light up on fire and they're set for life. And that's powerful. And listen, I have a couple of those by the grace of God on my team that are incredible. Like just they produce on a high level by themselves. Like I have one girl that does $100,000 worth of product and sales by herself. Every single month. Amazing, right? So grateful that that was found. But I would never have found her if I didn't go through 1,000 no's first. And so it's not, you really have to be married to that activity and really divorce yourself from the outcome. Your job, whatever you're selling, whatever it is that you're going for, do that activity. In my case, my job is to educate people on the opportunity of both finding a better way and an easier way to get healthier and another opportunity to potentially make more wealth. The choice is theirs if they take it. If they don't take it, guess what? I can still feel good about myself because I did my part.
Absolutely.
The activity is my part. The outcome is theirs.
So how many hours a day when you were building your fortune did you put into your network marketing business?
I mean, the first year to 2 years, it was a lot. I say a lot because it felt like you never stopped working. But it also never felt like you were working. I don't know if that makes sense because you do it on the crannies of your day. You're on your phone. You're sitting on the John. Oh, there you got some time. You know, go. But I built this to a point that I could leave my career while having a full-time career, while driving for Uber on the weekends, bartending 2 nights a week and coaching volleyball and having network marketing. And now this is all, well, now I'm also a publicist. It's opened up other doors, but that's all within the 2022. Before that, all I did was network marketing and I loved it. And it got to the point that if I really looked at it and I add up all the time, maybe I was working 3-4 hours a day, you know, but it was spread out throughout the whole day. So it always felt like you were working. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. You incorporated it into the nooks and crannies of your life.
Exactly.
What do you think people's biggest obstacle is in getting started as an entrepreneur? I know now you're doing publicity as well as, you know, you've done so well in network marketing. You come across probably thousands of people. What do you think they all have in common as their number one obstacle?
Lack of belief. That's 1,000%. And I really genuinely believe that one of the reasons I've had any success in this industry is that for some reason, God gave me his eyes. When I look into people, you know, we think of, you know, King David, who was just a shepherd boy, you know, when he was young, right? The world saw a shepherd boy, but God saw a king, literally. And so I feel like I have that ability within me. And oftentimes people can't find that belief within themselves. I literally tell them, use mine, because this is how I see you. Let me build your belief through my belief in you. And I think that that's part of what I love about network marketing is that this is a gift zone that I get to tap into and that I get to tap into every single day.
I think that's such a beautiful gift to be able to see people's potential and to believe in people before they can believe in themselves. Has your heart ever been broken in network marketing where somebody that you believed in didn't believe in themselves or someone who had a big team quit or somebody left you for another network marketing company? And how do you deal with that feeling of heartbreak?
You know, you hurt because you mourn the loss of a friend. You know, I'm in the business of building relationships and I genuinely mean that. And so when someone chooses another path, I've never hurt. Like, listen, there's a million ways to make $1 million. Like, figure out get in where you fit in. Find your tribe. If it's not with us, I get it. I love that. I respect you. Go. I want nothing more than your success, truly. I don't want, though, people that when they feel that if they have to leave or anything, they leave causing a big stink. That's me. That's when it's hurtful. And that did happen, a situation where the person wasn't winning at the level that they wanted to win. They'd always won before and didn't understand why they couldn't. And then everything became about everyone else. And they left really with hurtful words that were unnecessary. The good thing is I can stand firm and lay my head on the bed every single night and know that I did nothing wrong and I was respectful, kind, and loving. But it's hurtful because it's people. You pour into people in this industry. Like I've never poured into, I was a college professor and I don't feel like I poured into my students like I pour into my team. It's totally different.
Do you feel like the only way to fail is to quit, that that person would have eventually found their success had they just hung on a few more years?
I think yes. It's a really pretty thing to always say, right? We hear that a lot. The only failure is quitting. The reality is that we need failure. Failure is part of what we need to do to grow, right? We can't have failure without success. They literally, like, you can't have the dark without the light. It's both, right? And so you need both. Otherwise, what's success? You know, it's not the opposite of failure. And so, yes, the only way is quitting. 100%, you are failing. But in the same respect, I also think, like, it's not quitting if you realize it's just not for you. Or if you understand the level of activity you're willing to put into it and in turn lower your ambition. So if you're someone that says to me, for example, because in network marketing, our teams are not made up of a bunch of heavy hitters. Our teams are made up of a bunch of awesome, incredible human beings. They're just doing a little bit every single
right.
month. You just get a lot of those people, right? And so it's letting people fit in where they fit in, being okay meeting them where they're at, but actually meaning it, like genuinely meaning it, not trying to make everyone get to the car bonus or, you know, I've been able to, by the grace of God, help 20 people earn a free car. That's awesome. You know, I drive my car for free. That's incredible, right? But it's hard work. Not everyone wants to be a car bonus owner. And so if you don't want that, that's okay. And so it's just understanding, like, let people be who they are. Some people want to be runners. They want to run hard. They want to go for it. They want to take it to the top. And some people might just be belongers. And they really want a positive community full of entrepreneurially spirited people that do self-development and better themselves every day. That's a win either way. And so why not let people in the way they want to win?
I think that's a great life lesson in all human relationships, is just accept people for who they are and where
right.
they are, and don't try to change them and make them see the world through your eyes. Some people just want community, or some people just want to take amazing, healthy products. Not everybody wants to be a multimillionaire in this industry, and that's okay to love people where they are at. That's always been a challenge for me because I'm so results oriented. So that's something that I'm so glad that you brought to my attention today.
I think it's a good point, though, because we drive results in network marketing. And honestly, oftentimes the people that win are generally result-oriented people. And oftentimes people that get most frustrated in this industry are generally result-minded people. And so, again, it's just helping. That's where the coaching really comes in. And then, like, guide, like, let's tweak to see, because we know you want to win. You're doing the activity. Let's see what we can tweak to see what works and what does work. Because at the end of the day, your audience is going to react completely differently to you than they would to me. And so for me to just cookie cutter say, this is how you should do it, well, that may not work for you. And so what does work for you? Let's figure that out. Let's do it together, but let's grow on the way.
Yeah, that is so true. So what is your diet and exercise regimen now? Like, do you just drink these, exogenous ketones and eat whatever you want? Like, tell us, what do you do on a daily basis for your health and fitness?
Yeah, so great question. So a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to go keto. And then you see their lunch and it's, you know, a double bacon cheeseburger, no bun. Like, the reality of the matter is, first and foremost, I want to stress, I do not eat a keto lifestyle. I did do a keto lifestyle. I should say a keto-ish lifestyle for about 2.5 years. I do not currently live keto. I try to live as low carb as I can. Keto doesn't really give room for alcohol unless it's like a really dry red wine. Keto doesn't really live, you know, birthday parties with your kids, having a piece of cake. That's not keto. None of that works. And for me, again, sustainability within my health and wellness regimen had to be number one. If I wasn't going to do it forever, I didn't want to do it. And so I drink my ketones twice a day, every single day, without fail, no matter what. I do practice intermittent fasting. So my window is 12 to 8. That's when I will eat. I generally am going to eat a low-carb lunch and a low-carb dinner, and I try to not have snacks. If I do have snacks, I try to be smart about the snacks. That being said, on the weekend, I'm going to have some beers. I'm going to have some cocktails. If I'm out and about and there's appetizers, I'm going to enjoy the appetizers. For me, it was really, really important that I found myself being so restrictive that the conversation of weight, of transformation, of fat loss became almost a burden. And I realized, okay, this isn't good, right? This is negative. I'm switching one thing for another thing. And so it's finding peace with where you're at, finding true self-love when you look in the mirror, being okay, not being exact. I'm not where I want to be physically, where I dream of what my body would one day look like. I'm not there yet, but I give myself grace. Now, giving yourself grace does not mean crutching yourself. And I think that that's super important. Just because I give myself grace doesn't mean that I can't go, I'm going to skip working out today. And I'll be honest, there's days that I don't leave the house because I'm working on all these different hats. And so my workout might literally be, I have two phone calls back to back and I'm going to do loops around my neighborhood walking because I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm on a phone. And that might be my 45 minute to an hour exercise for the day. Or I'm going to get a class pass. I'm a big fan of class pass. If you guys
remember, I love
that app.
Oh, I love it. I'm obsessed.
It lets me have diversity. I like to do yoga on Fridays. I don't know why. I like to
end my week doing yoga. Friday's the yoga day.
That's my yoga day too. Always on Fridays when I do yoga. And then I'm usually doing some sort of high interval, you know, training. Like I'm either doing I used to go to Orange Theory primarily. So but there's gyms here that aren't Orange Theory, but they're not nationally. So one of them is called Sweat St. Pete that I love going. It's like a combo of, you know, first off, I move my body at least 4 days a week. That's my goal. At least 4 days a week. I commit myself to 4 days a week of moving my body, 4 days a week of eating clean, 4 days a week of making sure that I'm eating as low carb as possible. That's something that's really important to me. We actually call that the core four. I commit to no matter what on those 4 days. Now on the other 3 days, my goal is still to do those things, but I give myself grace if reasons come up. If there's a celebration. Now, you can turn every single Friday night into a celebration if you want. You know what I'm saying? So again, it's checking in with yourself, making sure you're making the right choices. But at the end of the day, living a life that makes me feel light, not because of my weight, but because I feel energized. The food that I've eaten has fueled me appropriately. I don't feel bloated. That's what I go for more than weight loss. Feeling just my mind is clear. You know, when you fill your body with gunk, you feel backed up.
Oh, yeah.
And so I try to avoid that feeling.
So when you wake up and you do your fasting, do you have coffee or tea to keep you going? Do you do caffeine in the morning and with your exogenous ketones?
Yeah, so I do water. First thing I wake up, and I make everyone in the family does this now. Like, I'm really crazy about it with my kids. It's smaller glasses, but we literally down a glass of water to start the day. After I saw I don't remember who it was, but it was a scientist it's a guy that was in charge of the NFL's health and wellness for the players or whatever. I heard him speak, and they showed us a brain that was dehydrated by 2%. Versus a brain that was 0% dehydrated. That little bit, that 2%, and it was not even close to firing. So I go to bed drinking water, and I wake up drinking water to stay as super hydrated. I'm going to stay drinking water all day long. Then when I start to get hungry, which for me tends to be around 9:30, I wake up at 7, around 9:30 is when I start to feel hungry, I'm going to have my exogenous ketones at that point. Now, I may or may not have had a coffee before, but that is literally if I'm in the mood for the taste. I used to drink like 5 to 6 cups of coffee a day to get through the day. Now if I'm like, I'm in the mood for some coffee because I want that taste, I'll have it. But I can't even tell you how many times I've made it in the Keurig. And then I take the kids to school. I come home, I get work and blah, blah. And I walk by and it's been 3 hours and I never took it off the Keurig and even drank it. So
That's
I don't
amazing.
Need the coffee anymore, but I love the taste. Then again, the low carb meal. I'm usually working out between 9 and 10 as well. That's when I find myself to be, I drop the kids off, and that's when I like to be the most, like, get my day started so that at 10 I can get home, get showered. And I know that sounds silly, but I do. I get showered and get fully dressed for the day, because before I would get showered and throw on a t-shirt, you know, living life in Lulu, which is amazing, but not always as productive as you'd want, you know? So I'm like, okay, I got to get up, got to put a button
for
down.
For the listeners, he's referring to Lululemon.
Yeah, exactly. You've been, seriously, you're like, okay, this, I'm feeling comfy. No, I want to feel like I am the badass business professional that I am the moment I am ready to start my day, and so I'm ready to end my day. And then I can put on my comfy clothes, you know? And so that's something that's really important to me.
So how do you make time for Clubhouse? I know you're a Clubhouse influencer. How did you rise up the ranks of that app where there's so many, you know, tens of thousands of people and become like this Clubhouse personality? Tell us a little bit about that journey.
You know, it's so funny because I got a text message from a former promoter. So someone that joined my team came in with the big package. And then I literally never heard from him again until 2 years later. He text messages me, "Have you heard of Clubhouse?" And I'm like, "No, what is it?" And he goes, "At that time, you only had two invites because it was in beta." And he goes, "If I give you one of my two invites, will you actually use it?" And I said, "Sure, I'll give it a go." I was already building on TikTok, building on Instagram at this point. I went in, I downloaded the app, I filled everything out, I created my bio. The very first room I went into was a room being hosted by Nate Forrest and Tom Chellen. And there are two of the bigger influencers on Clubhouse as well. I didn't know who they were. I go up, they asked a question. Someone was answering the question. I raised my hand, I got on stage, and I'm like, "I have something I'd like to add to this. May I add?" And they said, "Of course." And then I gave insight, and they were like, "Whoa, that's awesome. And you give really good insight." I was like, "Oh, cool, thanks." So then the next day I went in and I went into their room again. And I was like, they pulled me up and they moderated me. And they're like, blah, blah, blah. Well, then that night I get a DM from Nate saying, "Hey, we're starting a social media show under Breakfast with Champions. You have a strong social media presence. You have a lot of knowledge and entrepreneurship and social media and how to blend the two. We'd love for you to be one of the main moderators." And so that I joined on a Wednesday. By that Monday, I was one of the main moderators on Breakfast Champions, the largest club on Clubhouse. And then slowly from there, just by consistency, adding tons and tons and tons and tons of value as often as I could for free with no expectation, it ultimately grew and led to some really incredible opportunities.
So how do you have time for Clubhouse with all the other things you're doing with your network marketing, with your morning workout, with your kids, your marriage, your PR firm?
So time blocking, number one, and not time blocking and saying like, "Oh, I'm on to the next thing. Sorry." Like it has to be like real time blocking. I used to be on Clubhouse because it was during COVID. So we weren't really leaving the house for a lot more hours a day. Like, it was like every single chance I could, I'd literally be in the shower with Clubhouse on listening and like drying off my finger to unmute to say something, you know, literally all the things. And now I go on 2 hours a week. I have two segments with Breakfast with Champions. I do those two segments and then that's it. If I'm ever on Clubhouse outside of that, it's because I have some free time. I looked up to see what the conversations are going on are and I'm interested and I want to add value. Otherwise, Clubhouse can be a time suck. And so I had to just basically minimize my time in there. That being said, you grow a lot slower. You know, I was growing about 1,000 followers a week when I first started, and slowed down tremendously. And now that I'm only spending two, I might get 10, 15 followers in a week, which is a lot slower, but I'm spending a lot less time.
I heard that the people who are like kind of the OGs of Clubhouse, they were sleeping with the app on, showering, like if they were driving to work or it was in their purse. Like, yep. I guess having a constant presence, even if you weren't always sharing, made a big difference in the early days of Clubhouse. Do you think it still makes a difference?
I mean, I do think to some extent because it's law of familiarity, right? People get to know your avatar and they're like, "Oh, I know that person. I know that person." For me, for a couple reasons, because too oftentimes if I just going to listen, I'm probably going to get pulled up on stage. If I get pulled up on stage, I'm probably going to be asked a question. And so then I just kind of stay away unless I can actually be present. I don't like podcast style it. Like some people listen to Clubhouse like a podcast, but they have that liberty because they've always been in the audience. What, you know, and so they've always actively listened. I've always actively participated. So it's become kind of the expectation. And so, but yeah, I mean, I was that guy with like, my kid knew the people on Clubhouse's voices. Like, I was everywhere we drove. We weren't listening to music. We were listening to Clubhouse. It was like, it was for real.
Have you met a lot of the other Clubhouse interview influencers in person?
Yeah, I've met a lot of them. We've all traveled actually quite a bit together. We've done a few Clubhouse like events. We did a few in Vegas. We did a few in California, Nashville, Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah, I've been to like 8 or 9 different cities with these people. Denver, Colorado, 3 times.
Wow, that's amazing.
Dallas,
you
Texas.
Are,
yeah.
You are so great at building relationships. Well, Alexander, I am so happy that I met you on that app, Clubhouse, and we will continue to build our relationship and our friendship. And you've just been a delight to have on the show. How can people find you on Clubhouse or where else do you like to hang out on social media?
Yeah, so I'm Alexander Loves on Clubhouse. Alexander Gonzalez is my name, but I'm at Alexander Loves. And on Instagram, I'm at Not The Fat Dad. At Not The Fat Dad. And those are the two places I'm going to be hanging out. If you want to DM me, Instagram is better for DMing than Clubhouse. So I will respond more so. I do have a couple TikToks as well, but I will most likely answer on Instagram. My Facebook was hacked not that long ago, completely taken with all my groups and everything. So I do have a Facebook, but it's like has like 250 people. It's just a little thing, but it's growing. And yeah, but Instagram is probably the best way to find me, Not The Fat Dad.
So do you do TikToks with your kids? What do they think of your social media presence? And that'll be my last question before we cut to commercial break.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. They love it. They do participate. I do more reels now than I do TikToks, but they do participate with me. Those tend to be some of my most popular, in fact, my most viral video ever. Both my kids are in it with me. They love it. One thing I had to be very careful is to not, or in their presence, talk about the analytics of social media, because when I'm speaking to it, I'm speaking to it strictly as an entrepreneur. But then my kids are like, how many likes did it get? How many comments? And I don't want them to ever get their confidence from any social media app. So yeah, kept that conversation away from them.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on this show, Alexander. And I look forward to seeing you on Clubhouse in the next
yes.
couple of days.
Thank you so
Take
much,
care.
Rebecca. Have a great day.
Okay, you're welcome. So that was a great show about success and ketosis and what it takes to be successful, not just in network marketing, but in any industry. We have an awesome challenge that I want to invite you to. It's in my link tree in the show notes. It's called the 777 Challenge. 7 pillars of abundance in 7 days for $7. That's $1 a day for coaching with me to get your life into alignment. September is the new January. I'm also giving you a free guest pass of the Empowered Feminine Summit. It's also in the link tree. It's how to maintain balance between family life and being an entrepreneur. You have been watching the Balance, Beautiful, and Abundant show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman. I love taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And we are coming to you live from Bold Brave TV. We'll see you next week at the same time, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, with another amazing show. Thanks. And until then, keep your vibe high and your hands clean.
This has been Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant with your host, Rebecca Whitman. Join Rebecca each week as she supports you in achieving work-life balance so you can have more fun and freedom right here on Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant.
Thank you.
says you can't have it all. I'm proof that you can. You just have to put your life into balance. Too much of anything, money, fitness, socializing, can overtake your life. When all seven aspects of your life work in harmony, you will achieve the balanced, beautiful, and abundant life you've always dreamed of. Please subscribe to hear more inspiring interviews. Is there someone you know who could benefit from this podcast? Please share this podcast with them. Please review this podcast. Your feedback will help me target your needs and plan for upcoming shows that answer your questions and feature guest speakers that can make a big difference in your life. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman. Feel free to DM me to book a free balance assessment call. And don't forget, stay balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Living my life like it's holding.